knowing what you're talking about? Put yourself together, Job. Up on your feet and stand tall.
I have some questions for you, and I want some straight answers. Where were you when I created the earth? Tell me, since you know so much, who decided on its size? Certainly you'll know that. Who came up with the blueprints and the measurements? How was its foundation poured, and who set the cornerstone while the morning stars sang in chorus and the angels shouted praise? And who took charge of the ocean when it gushed forth like a baby from the womb? That was me. I wrapped it in soft clouds and tucked it in safely at night. Then I made a playpen for it, a strong playpen so it wouldn't run loose. And I said, stay here, this is your place, your wild tantrums are confined to this place. And if you ever ordered morning to get up and dawn to get to work, so you could seize earth like a blanket and shake out the wicked like cockroaches, as the sun brings everything to light, brings out all the colors and shapes, the cover of darkness is snatched from the wicked and they're caught in the very act. Have you ever gotten to the true bottom of things, explored the labyrinth cave of deep oceans? Do you know the first thing about death? Do you have one clue regarding death's dark mysteries? And do you have any idea how large the earth is? Speak up if you even have a beginning to the answer. Wow. That's God's response to Job. Yike. Yeah. Let me ask you, have you ever tried to interpret God to other people? Have you ever tried to explain God? And people will ask questions like, as my dad does, you know, why did God let Barbara die? Or why am I sick? Or make statements like, you know, a good God would never allow these horrible kinds of things in life to happen. Do you ever find yourself on the receiving end of these kinds of statements and questions? Why? Why? And people kind of look to you and as if you could interpret God and have an answer for these really hard questions. I get there. I get there quite often. If people are honest, and I'm really willing to listen, it happens. And I imagine there are times when you need to ask those questions. You know? Why? Two people will often, sometimes you find two people who experience even the same crisis, the same tragedy. And in that moment, one person will turn closer to God, and one person will turn away from God. Or become angry, or stop believing. You've seen it. We've all seen it. We've experienced it. Anyway, I'd like you to meet two of my friends here who think perhaps they can help us with this difficult problem. They have a little skit here, and it is pretty funny, called Improving on God. All right? See what you can do with this. You guys speak up. All right?
Hello. Hi. I'm Johannesy, a Pennsy consultant, and this is Don Damas, my associate. We're hoping to get an appointment with Dad, would that be possible?
Well, of course. May I ask him what it's regarding?
Sure, like I said, we're with Hennessy Consulting, and well, we'd like to have a chance to show him some of the services we offer, specifically in the area of public relations and marketing.
Well, I hate to be a product, Mr. Hennessy, but I don't believe that you'd be interested in those services.
Well, can I ask why?
We specialize in customizing our services to the needs of each company. We can be very flexible.
Well, I understand, but
I don't want to be pushy, but I'm not so sure about that.
Why?
We've done a marketing analysis of the entire God profile, and
we've turned up some interesting things, things we think he might just want to see.
Such as?
Well, I hate to get into it right here, but just for starters, we think you may be alienating some of your customers. Unintentionally, of course.
We surveyed some of your customers, and they're not completely happy with your product.
And look at these books. These have all come out recently. Where is God when it hurts? Disappointment with God, when God seems far away, and why God won't answer prayer.
You're actually getting quite a lot of negative publicity, both from your customers and your rivals.
We're not seeing a coordinated response. complaints.
If you do not respond in a positive way, our research shows you will continue to lose market share.
Continue.
Only 12 years ago, you held a 64% market share among those seeking ultimate meaning. The number has declined and now is still on a downward trend.
We're afraid if you don't turn things around, you'll continue to lose customers.
Well, actually, we have very loyal customers and followers.
A common misconception among businesses who've been around a long time. And you've been around for a while, for sure.
Surveys show declining levels of brand loyalty among today's consumers. It used to be you could count on some customers going back year after year. But that's the old economy. Today, they'll switch brands instantly. They'll leave you, they'll come back, they'll leave you again.
Well, you know what? If they need to leave, they can. We've always done it that way.
That's the problem, ma'am. Kevin can't keep doing things the old way and survive. It's just too competitive these days. You can't rely on the old answers anymore if you're going to go to the next level.
What would the next level be?
Well, a greater market share, better customer service, brand awareness, that's what we can help you with.
We've done extensive research on the Whole God brand, and we think we can help you turn things around before it's too late.
That's right. We can show you how to be more responsive to your customers, how to find out what they want, and give it to them in a timely fashion.
Customer service is critical in today's market.
We can help you manage the negative publicity.
How would you do that?
Well, take for instance the charge that God doesn't answer prayer. We've heard that one a lot. Now, we don't know whether he does or doesn't, and frankly, that's not the point. The point is, he can't afford to let people think he doesn't answer prayer. He has to manage that perception and make people think he cares, even if, perchance, he doesn't.
It's called perceived sensitivity.
That's right. Obviously, you can't be actively in touch with the needs of 5 billion people, but if each person perceives that he really cares, then you can manage the damage. That's the image we must project, a God who always cares.
But he really does care.
Sure he does. It's just that maybe you should inform your customers because they're not so sure. You can't let negativity go unanswered for these customers.
You see, we can help you with this. You can manage his image.
Identify untapped markets.
Improve his core policy.
And sell off weak divisions.
Yes, we think a lot of his local franchises are, I hate to say it, sadly behind the times and desperately in need of a facelift.
Now don't get us wrong. You have a wonderful distribution system. Franchises in virtually every city on the globe.
But you need to unify God Global at all your locations. Instead of using all these confusing names, people need to know exactly where to find you. You need to have, you don't even have a central website.
Wow, I must say, it's on your homework.
That's what makes us different from other consulting companies. We want to demonstrate right off the bat that we've studied you, that we understand your position in the market, and that we have real answers.
Well, thank you for dropping by. Now, if you'll excuse me.
But we just got started.
Well, I'm quite confident in saying that I don't think he'll be interested in managing his image. He's just not how he operates. I'm sorry.
Well, you called that one another big struggling company up in the past.
They'll never make you when they do it, probably.
You can say that again. I give you 5 years and you'll be out of business.
It's too bad, too. That God brand has a lot to offer, a lot of history.
Yeah, if you could just take some advice.
It was very funny. Our problem is we didn't want to laugh too hard. We might miss the next funny line. Thought-provoking, though, isn't it? Improving on that. Our consultants actually brought up 3 good points. that I'd just like to discuss and equip you a little bit with people. These are questions, we don't kind of make it so crass, but they're all questions that we really are kind of thinking about it and struggling with, and the other people that we care about are struggling with. So I want to kind of just throw out three kind of topics they talked about as ways in which we can respond to them, realizing that God's not selling a product, and that we're not managing a product. And yet, better customer service. What comes to mind when you hear that word, better customer service? You know, think about it. What causes people to turn away from God? Unanswered questions? Unanswered prayer? Tragedies? Suffering? And it is true, God's people have written a lot of books. Matter of fact, I have a lot of books on my shelf. You know, where is God when it hurts, and disappointment with God, and why doesn't God answer prayer? I got all those. I should have brought them down. I got them all. But how does God respond to the cross? Your cross. Well, sometimes it seems like silence. Sometimes it does seem like silence. Or sometimes it's like this passage in Job, where God even kind of challenges our right to ask the questions. You know, who do you think you are? And boy, that doesn't help God's image at all, does it? But I want to offer you something. When it seems like God doesn't care, or God's not responding, we're talking about building bridges between another and building bridges in the community. Here's something I want to offer to you. When someone you love, or even you yourself, are struggling in this way, God does respond. And the way he responded was by sending his son. That was God's response to pain and suffering and unanswered prayer. Was sending his son to be like one of us, because he knows how we feel. And he's experienced the same pain that we've experienced. And not only sending his own son, but today, every day, constantly, sending his Holy Spirit to those who will trust in him, to those who want him to be a part of their lives. He promises the Holy Spirit. Not to explain his actions, because I really think they're beyond our comprehension, but so that we'll never be alone. We would love, I would love to have a good explanation for a lot of the things that are going on and a lot of things that are happening in people's lives. But honestly, I don't think even if God were to explain it, we could begin to comprehend it. Do you know, like, there's people, like, are there people in this world that are smarter than you? Like, way smarter, like Nobel Prize people? And if you actually could engage them in conversation, how long would it be in them talking about their expertise, their area of expertise, before they would leave you in the dust? And they're just people. Can you imagine if God were really to answer us, some of these whys, it would go over our head before we even taken a second breath. We are limited. And so, rather than try to answer things that are beyond really our comprehension, he sent us himself. And sent his son. And that's something that I hope will be a comfort to you and a comfort to the people that you know. He sent his son and he sends his spirit. He offers us not always answers that are satisfactory, but he offers his presence. And that's frustrating for people, and even it's frustrating for us sometimes, but that's what God has done for us. Our friends also talked about having a greater market share, which I think is hysterical. They say God used to have a greater market share for those who were seeking ultimate meaning. And in some ways, that's really quite true. There's a lot of people who are seeking in this world. A lot of us are seeking. But people aren't necessarily finding or looking toward God to find that meaning. And we all know people who used to believe. You know people who used to believe? I know people. I remember people from college. My friend Hans, he used to believe. And when you find folks who used to believe, whatever that means, they fall usually into one of two general categories. And this is important, again, for us and for the people we love. Either one of two things happen to folks who used to believe. Either they got bored, and more often by the church than by God. Or they got burned. It's a really easy thing to remember. Bored or burned, which is it? And that can be helpful in our own lives and trying to figure out what's going on in ourselves, and also what's going on with the people that we care about. When you find out that people were just bored with God and bored with the church, it's important to find ways to say, you know, this is not your grandmother's church. You know, are there ways in which the church has changed? And that's a real challenge for us as this little local church, to stop being boring and to break down misconceptions with the truth. And one of the reasons I love being in this congregation and staying here is because I don't think you guys are boring. And I don't think our church is boring. And I think the things that we do and the ways that we work in the community, the Tin Mountain Roundup is coming up, and Kids Club, and the things that we are involved in, Thanksgiving cards, we're not boring. We're not a boring place. And how do we share that? Art night, other things. We're not boring. The bigger issue is those who have been burned. Oh, one more thing about boring, because Sally's here. Sally and I took a walk on Friday, and we met Paul, who had just hiked up the mountain and come down. He hiked over to where they were cutting the new glade. Okay? And he said that the top, we have to take his word for it because we haven't been up there. At the top of the entrance of the new glade is this sign. And it says something like, you know, if you go in here, you may well die. And the skeeter crawl is not necessarily going to come and get you. And you're on your own. And it's just this wonderful. What else did he say in that sign?
Yeah, don't expect to be rescued.
Don't expect to be rescued. If you go down to
this
place. Yeah, all these disclaimers, and he was getting a hoot out of them, and then, of course, we all agreed that hopefully they have a steady supply of these signs, because these are going to be a hot item. And they will probably disappear before the place even gets open. But he thought it was hysterical, this kind of, all these disclaimers, you know, you may die. So Sally and I said to each other, hey, the church needs to put up a sign for prayer requests next to the sign that says you may not be rescued. We thought that would be a great idea. I wonder if we can do that. Put up a sign for a church phone number for prayer requests before you go down into the grave. We're not boring. We may be a lot of things, but we're not boring. But what about people who have been burned? Burned by the church and burned by God. They've been hurt. And a lot of times when you hear their stories, they were valid to be upset. They were valid to be sad. They were valid to be hurting. But, you know, I do have one that's helpful. When you find out that people have really been burned by the church, and, you know, the church is full of hypocrites, or the church is full of mean people, or whatever, I usually ask them something around about like this. I'll say, well, have you ever gone to a restaurant? And they'll say, yes. I'll say, have you ever had a bad meal at a restaurant? Or have you ever had a nasty waitress at a restaurant? And they'll go, yes. And I'll say, have you stopped going to restaurants? And they go, oh, no, I just go to a different restaurant. That can help some people relativize the church, you know, they're not all the same, and it's worth trying again. But when it comes to being burned by God, it's important that we learn how to listen to people's hurt and to people's anger without getting defensive, and without feeling like we need to have all the answers for God because we don't. To be willing to admit where you agree with someone's struggle and someone's pain, and to say, yeah, I have felt like that too. I have felt like God has not heard my prayers. I have felt like God abandoned me. I have felt angry at God because the person I love isn't getting well. To admit that, and to admit that, and yet you still believe. I think that's powerful for people. Oftentimes people expect that we're just going to kind of defend God, defend all of the kind of the silly, you know, like all of the things, you know, that we need to kind of get our backs up straight. Well, God is God, and you can't question that, and God's going to do what God's going to do. No, why don't you just be honest? Say, yeah, I know what you mean. And yet I couldn't take another breath without God giving it to me. I couldn't get out of bed unless I really thought that there was someone out there who cared about me and who loved me. So in terms of this thing about market shame, you know, there's some bridges for you to reach out to folks. Because we hear this, and as people of God, we're going to hear it. The last one is this funny thing about brand awareness. And I was joking with the kids about, you know, Sugarloaf or Sins. That was brand awareness. That was a huge thing about branding. You know, and I wonder if we could have t-shirts or name tags, you know, God's creation since, you know, before I was born or whatever. But on the resort, in any business, Macy's, wherever you are, and I'm thinking particularly here because this is in our frame of reference. All the resort employees are identifiable because they've got these name tags on, right? And now that Ben has that, Ben's going to have to find that name tag. The kid's like, I don't think he's going to. No, I'm sure he's got a name tag. I'm sure. And when they're working, they're representing Sugarloaf. And when they do well, Sugarloaf looks good. And when they misbehave, Sugarloaf doesn't look so good. Does anybody remember a couple of Easter sunrises ago? Well, that was really sad, actually. For those of you who weren't there for our Easter sunrise service, a couple of somebodies, you know, were just getting ready to start the service, and a couple of, you know, yahoos kind of jumped the little kind of barrier that we had made to tell people know where to stand, and they jumped over it, and they went, yahoo, and they went down, and of course the mistake they made was that they were wearing their perfect turn jackets, and so they were fired before the end of the day. Now, Earl and I were not that particularly upset, but there were some people up there, Sugarloaf employee people, administrative people, who were like, that is not okay. You can't represent us and behave that way. And I felt really bad about it, but I just, you know, I stayed out. That was Sugarloaf's deal. But they represented Sugarloaf. Does it matter if the world knows that you're one of God's people? Does it matter? You know, one level you say, well, no, it doesn't really matter. But you know what, then again, on the other, how can the world know that God cares about them if God's people doesn't care about them? And how can they know who God's people are unless you're willing to say, I'm one of God's people? I'm not saying that we need to wear name tags or t-shirts, but it does challenge us. You know, one of the ways that people become aware of God is if they become aware of God's people doing wonderful and loving and caring things. And we programmatically try to put some of these things together for visibility. But it's what we as individuals do day in and day out. And that's why I love it that we have folks from our church on the ski club, and we have folks from our church working at the mountain, and we have folks from our church working at CBA. It's important that we be in the world and that we help be those things, those people that remind folks that God cares and that God loves. But I want you to remember, we do not manage God's image in the world. And I hope you got the humor in this skit. But we don't manage God's image. We can't. And we're not selling a product. But we are inviting people to join with us in seeking God and becoming friends with God and to be in relationships. So get out there in the world and help people to know that God is present and that God cares. And show how God has made himself known in your life. And then listen to other people's stories, because that's where we're going to know and to show that we care. Hear other people's disappointments. Hear our own disappointments. Admit to your humanity. Admit where you've been disappointed too. But just keep pointing people back to God. And yet, there is God. And yet, there is God. And yet, there is God. I heard a great quote in a movie last night. The minister... You go through a good portion of the movie, excuse me, before you realize that this guy is a minister. And then the other person in the story says, wow, I had no idea you were a minister. And he's like, great. And then he said this quote, he goes, souls are God's business. My business is people. And I loved that. And I think that's a good one for us to hold on to. Our business is people. And we leave all that ultimate destiny stuff, that's really up to God. But it's important that we be who we are. I did have a song prepared today to sing. Are you guys up for that? Is it okay if I sing that? Yeah, Nikki.
Can I just, before you do that, can I just say one thing?
Sure!
Oh, sorry about that, guys. I actually came up with an answer for that question. Hmm.
What you got?
If God gave us all free will, people have to be able to exercise it. If that people do bad things,
yep,
then that's the expression of who they are. God gave us free will. We can't take it back.
Right.
So our choices really matter as to whether we're good or we're not good in the face of everything that happens.
It's true.
We just have to trust. It's that old line from Shakespeare, all well that ends well. If there's really a heaven and a God, and everything's okay in the end. It's like childbirth. After you have the baby, the pain doesn't matter. And that's all I can think of to relate to.
Yeah.
And that was my own personal answer to that
help us get it a little bit of what the truth. I don't think we can get the whole piece of it. This song is titled God is God, and I invite you to be in prayer and enjoy God in this, and perhaps there's some people you want to be praying about in your heart while I sing this song. People who seem to live a good life come down with cancer. Why those who go and serve are shot and killed. However done, always understood. And yet you are God, yesterday, today, and forever. And so we bring what we've got, ourselves, our hopes and our fears, our loves and our dreams. And we come before you, and we say, God, we're so glad that you're God and we're not. Lord, we'd like to see the bigger picture. Sometimes we'd like to know the lies. Lord, when we don't, when we can't, hold us close and make your presence strong. Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for all that he has done so that we might join you. And thank you for your Spirit who abides in us day by day, who connects us to the divine, who gives us hope and grace and wisdom, who convicts us of sin when we've gotten off track, who comforts us, and who connects us with all your saints. God, you've heard our prayers this morning. Prayers for those who are struggling, like Barbara and Wendy's dad and mine, and David, Chris, Chipper. And you hear our prayers for those who are mourning. Think of Rob and Poole today, Lord. And we think of the things that are just challenges in our lives, our family lives, our business lives, lives at work. And we lift them up to you. And God, we thank you. We thank you for the privilege of prayer and being able to draw near. And so we ask that by your Spirit you would draw us all into one, in harmony of heart and soul, with those who are praying here and those around the world, with your people and those who are seeking you. Lord, draw us all a little closer in as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen. I asked Dave to...